Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll make a few announcements, then we'll have a minute for mission. Mind you, the congregational meeting is next Sunday. Hope you can be here. And reports for the budget on the table in the back. The sign-up sheet for Christian poinsettias on the table. Sign-up sheet for Advent readers. Decorating the church on Saturday, November 29th, still sign up for scripture readers. Teachers are still needed for junior church. And there's a sign-up sheet if you want to take the movie God's Not Dead. Mickey's asked me to make an announcement for the bell ringers for Christmas. They're going to practice Saturdays from 10:15 to about noon. So one requirement is you need to be able to read music. So you can talk to Mickey about that. Junior church today will be in the nursery. The nursery worker was not able to come. So junior church will be in the nursery.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
When the opportunity came up to speak about the Minute for Mission, I quickly seized the opportunity because the topic is near and dear to my heart. One, because it was the first event I attended at Glenshaw Valley and it made a great impression. And two, it involved a dinner. That's always a great opportunity to talk about. When Bill and I were looking for a church, our first visit to Glenshaw Valley was in September, and Leonard was still recovering from his illness, and Reverend Menk was speaking. So we returned again in October, and a few times in November, and realized we were growing to love this church. We were growing to love you, really. That November, we attended the Deacon's Thanksgiving dinner, which is an outreach to the community. It's really an outreach to individuals who might otherwise not have a Thanksgiving meal, but more importantly, an opportunity to have fellowship. And when Bill and I attended that first Thanksgiving dinner, we were moved by how the members greeted the community. They reached out to the community. And if anyone was seated by themselves, they made sure that someone else was seated with them. No one ate alone that Thanksgiving day, including Bill and I. Members of the church came up and made a point to sit with us. And I remember that it was two teenage children of a member who made the effort to sit with us first. It wasn't even an adult. So we never know in what capacity our programs are touching others' lives. On behalf of the deacons, we're coming to you and saying, help us to support this initiative. It's quickly approaching. There's a lot of planning and organization. Most importantly, we need to provide food for 80 to 90 people. It has grown from 50 people initially now to upwards of 80 to 90. And this can't be done by just 8 people on a board. So if you would please sign up, bring a side dish, offer to make a turkey. You do not have to be here that day. The deacons will accept food a day or two before the event. We have refrigerator space. They will take responsibility for heating the dishes and making sure that the food is served. But they really need your support in this effort. And most importantly, the community that relies on our church for fellowship and support and some outreach really rely on us. So again, please sign up and help the deacons this year. Thank you.
Also, just one other quick announcement. You see it here, but cookies, cookies, cookies. If you can make some cookies for the cookie walk, it's a big fundraiser for the church. You can see Clara or Linda, or you need to call the office, whatever. And they have a freezer. If you make them early, they can get them from you and put them in the freezer until Christmas. And we can do that. How soon can we put them in the freezer? Now? We can put them in the freezer now. I wanted to make sure. So hopefully you'll be able to do that. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for today is 241. Lo, he comes with clouds descending.
Thank you.
Amen. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love of humanity. We praise you for the gift of heaven for believers. Forgive us for not taking you at your word. Help us to believe the promise of eternal life. Show us how we can be prepared to spend eternity with you. Remind us to not procrastinate with our prayers and Bible reading. Help us to remember that every day is a gift. Prepare us for your Son entering our lives a second time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us join together with a real sense of unity as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you haven't seen someone in a while, make sure you speak to them and get a name. I just want to make a quick announcement. I know you got a handout, or you should have a handout, about the annual stewardship luncheon and the cards that you can fill out, and you can drop those in the offering plate or mail them in. But I'm real excited about, following the service on Sunday, November 23rd, instead of the spaghetti luncheon we've been having from Mark. Mark is ill, having to go in for back surgery, so the session is going to do this themselves. We got all excited the other night. It was really fun talking about it. And they're going to make different chilies, and what we're also going to do, I think there'll be about five different chilies. We'll let you vote on the best session member's chili also. So that's always fun. So I hope you can come out for it.
I believe.
Responsive reading, 643 in your hymnals. 643, Christ's Return. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever.
Therefore, encourage each other with these words.
Ask the elder on the door to come forward for prayer and praise.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have several this morning. The first one is for the brother-in-law of Bev Ruby. His name is John, and he has pericarditis. Another one for Pat Ruby, who is the sister-in-law. She's having surgery at Passavant tomorrow for diagnostic surgery. From Kathy Segi, for Cora is her mom. She's having stomach pains and prayers that she has the courage to take the steps to find the cause and have it treated and that she starts feeling better soon. From Kathy Segi, for Mary, she goes to her mother's church and she's lost her husband, daughter, and niece. And she's hoping to find comfort and peace during this difficult time. From Kathy Segi, for Sandy, for Megan, and for her sister Linda, that they have colds and hope that they start feeling better soon. From Arlie, for Libs, prays for the successful surgery and the support of the congregation, and please continue to pray for her continued healing. And it's nice to have you in church this morning. And a praise request from Mary and Dave Slover for Kathy Stem, who has had a stroke, and she's a friend of theirs, and she has two young daughters, Kathy Stem. And for our church secretary, she's hoping to return to work this week, but her mother has been hospitalized. She had to be rushed to the hospital this week, and she also had to put her cat down. So I'm asking for prayers for our church secretary and her mother. Thank you.
I have one to add, but just a quick announcement in the middle of this, because this is important that we can get information out what's going on to the congregation. I changed my email from Comcast to Verizon, and I've been having some problems. Some people haven't been getting the emails that were already on. So if you did not get an email from me this week, then would you let me know so I can get you back? And if you've not ever given me an email and you would like to be on our mailing list, email mailing list, please let me know. The flowers here today are from funeral service from yesterday from Mary Ellen Porter. Some people did not know she had passed away. She'd gone into Cain a couple months ago. And she had a 100th birthday party this summer. And so that's a wonderful thing. She's been the oldest member of our church, and she will be missed. And so let's pray for her family, her friends, our church. Also for two new members, Dave and Mary, who have been are being taken in as new members today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, because this is the day that you have made. And help us to find reasons to rejoice within it, even though there are problems, and we watch the news, we see wars and bad weather, all kind of horrific things going on, and it can bring us down. But remind us that you are alive and well and involved in our lives. You've given us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to help us through every circumstance in this life, to lead us and guide us and open up the Scriptures and the Word of God to us. We thank you for that. We thank you for family and friends, for our church, those who help us when we need help. And we're thankful that we at times can reach out and help others who need help. We thank you for the Word of God that promises our salvation. And you promise that you are coming back for your church. And we look forward to that, Lord, and we say, come, Lord, come into our lives in a fresh way. And come when you're ready, at your time, come back and close out history as we understand it. We thank you that you're not a God who just created and walked away, but you stay involved in our lives. But it doesn't mean everything is easy. So we help one another, and we look out for one another. Thank you for giving us that opportunity. So we lift all these names before you today, knowing that you already know every need, every desire before it's even spoken. But we speak it and we whisper it to acknowledge you and to thank you for what you do for us. In our faith, we thank you now even for prayers being answered. And we thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn of preparation, a screen song, Step by Step.
Oh, God. Thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the salvation that you have blessed us with. We thank you for friends and family. And we thank you today for this church. Yes, the building, the property, but most of all, the people are the church that you have called us to worship, to give you the glory, to serve you, and to serve our community. As pastor, I thank you for everyone who is faithful in everything that they do. So many things go unnoticed, but Lord, we know that you see and that you will bless. Touch everyone's life. Lord, bless them. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to say something first. Before Bill reads the scripture, I just want to take a moment and thank all of you who are our veterans, and just like you to stand for a second and be recognized. God bless you. Thank you for our freedom, and I'm sure there'll be some more from our congregation be veterans one day.
Good morning, church family in Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is a parable, and like all of the parables that Jesus told us, it was about the kingdom of God. And that in it, there's much symbolism. Now, it's easy to see that the bridegroom was Jesus Christ in his coming. And the 10 virgins, why, they are the church. There's people who have come into the church. Now, there was 10 wise people in that church and 10 foolish people in that church. And the 10 wise ones had brought oil. And the oil symbolizes a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer and reading of the scripture. The 10 foolish didn't take time to do that. They had something else to do. So when it came time for God to come, for Jesus Christ to come, they were unprepared. Now, I was asked a question before the service about this. He said, wouldn't the Christian thing to do was to share that oil? But you can't share relationship. That's a personal thing. So listen to your own personal message as I read the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The 10 wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. There's a true story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic. A frightened woman found her place in a lifeboat that was about to be lowered into the raging cold waters of the North Atlantic. She suddenly thought that she needed something that she had left in her room. So she asked permission to return to the stateroom before they cast off, and she was granted 3 minutes, or they would leave without her if she wasn't back. So she ran across the deck that was already slanted on a dangerous angle. She raced through the casino with all the money that had rolled to one side, said ankle deep. She came to her stateroom and quickly pushed aside her diamond rings, her expensive bracelets, the money, all that stuff. And she reached up onto a shelf and she grabbed 3 oranges. Now that seems to be incredible, because 30 minutes early she would not have traded even the smallest of her diamonds for a whole crate of oranges. But death had boarded the Titanic, and one blast from his awful breath had transformed all values and had turned everything upside down. Instantaneously, priceless things have become worthless, and worthless things have become very valuable. And at that moment, she preferred 3 small oranges to a crate of diamonds. There are events in life which have power to transform the way that we look and perceive this world that we live in. Jesus' parable about the 10 virgins offers one of these types of events. For the parable is about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus doesn't come right out and say this. Rather, he lets the story describe it for him, which he was such a master at doing. The woman on the sinking Titanic understood in the light of her current circumstances that she must make preparations to be in that lifeboat. Diamonds would not suffice, only the precious resources of oranges to give sustenance, food, even the liquid. Likewise, in this world where Christ may return at any moment, we just don't know. The parable warns that we must be ready. Weddings are one of those kinds of events where we need to be ready. And every time I have a wedding, I always admonish the couple to be there the night of the rehearsal early. And if they've got friends who are always 15 minutes late, give them a false time earlier so they'll be there on time. I don't like standing around and waiting on that. But on the day of the wedding, I tell them, if you can, come dressed, come early, come prepared. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. Jesus' parable about a wedding is told not from the vantage point of the bride and groom, but of the 10 young maidens who had been invited to this very happy occasion. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them turned out to be wise. Now, what was the measure of this wisdom? It was their readiness to be part of the event that was about to take place. All of these young women had oil in their lamps, but 5 had an additional supply. This is, of course, foreign to our concepts of weddings today. Weddings in our society are announced for a specific time, 3 o'clock, November the 5th, and people are there. Well, most people, there's always the straggler, so I always wait 5 minutes past the time to get those who are running just a little late. If things are late in getting started, those invited guests begin to fidget. But in the first century Palestine, a wedding could happen within a time frame of several days. The uncertainty was considered a part of the excitement of the wedding. When's it going to happen? Will we be ready? When will the announcement come? And the bridegroom usually hoped to catch some of the bridal party napping. But fairness required that some announcement would be made, so just before the big event, a messenger was sent through the streets announcing, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The alert ones in the wedding party would respond, and those who were asleep or had gone off somewhere would be left out of the wedding. In Jesus' parable, the cry came at midnight. This was often the case. Most bridegrooms chose later at night. The sleeping attendants were awakened. It was then that they realized that they did not have enough oil in their lamps. Panicked, they attempted to borrow some from the other bridesmaids. But they responded, "If we give you our oil, there won't be enough for us. Hurry out to the store or the dealer where you get oil and purchase some." So the five foolish maidens hurried out, but by the time they returned, the door had already been closed and locked. They knocked on the door and pleaded to be a part of the festivities, but the groom said, "If you belonged at this event, you would already be present." Jesus concluded, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day," talking about his second coming. So what this parable is suggesting to us, I'd like to make a few suggestions. First, it says, saying that some things in life cannot be borrowed. You and I cannot live on someone else's oil. We can help one another in many ways, but just up to a point, because ultimately we are on our own. This is especially true when it comes to our faith. The road of the religious pilgrimage is a narrow one and can only be walked two at a time, you with God. Your parents cannot walk it for you. Husbands and wives can depend on one another, but they cannot make someone have faith or believe in Christ. Faith is the most intensely personal experience that we will ever have in this life. Others can help us towards it. They can encourage us. They can pray for us. They can bring us up the way that we should go, teaching us good values and scripture. But in the end, we must embrace it ourselves. It's a decision each and every one of us have to make on our own. No one can do that for us. The five foolish maidens in this story were foolish because they thought that they could rely upon the resources of others to get them through. What they discovered was that there's some things in life that just cannot be borrowed. Secondly, I think that the parable suggests that there are some things that cannot be put off until the last minute. I don't know if our church insurance plan covers earthquakes. Maybe we need to check on it. But earthquake insurance is not something that you can put off at the last moment. When you feel the rattling of the building, you can't call, "Hey, get me on life and earthquake insurance now." In the 20 seconds that it takes to do tremendous damage, we don't have time to call a meeting of session and appoint a team and say, "Research this," because the earthquake is already here. A midterm exam is something that you can't put off. Many people do, but we know the results of that. On the morning of the exam is not the time to all of a sudden try to study and to cram 2 months of knowledge to be able to take that test. When it comes to these kind of decisions in our business homes, we all understand. As businessmen and women, and as moms and dads, we all understand that there's some things that simply cannot be put off till another time. Yet it's amazing to me how so many of us fail to grasp the concept when it comes to life's biggest decisions. How many couples have I seen over the years that I do the wedding for them, pronounce them husband and wife, do it in the church, and then I don't see them again? Maybe they get a marital problem and they come running back, panicked, wanting help, desperate. My friends, you cannot make withdrawals unless you have first made some deposits. There's some things that cannot be put off until the last minute. There was a family who wanted their pastor to counsel their daughter on a decision she was making that they felt was just wrong. Wrong decision for her. The pastor visited with the daughter for about a half hour in his office and did his best he could to point out the issues. Yet she still chose to go contrary to her parents' decision. After the mother said to the pastor, she was quite disappointed in the pastor. And the pastor said, "Well," she said first, "I thought of all people, you would be able to get this turned around and point her in the right direction and convince her." And he thought to himself, "How can you expect me to accomplish in 30 minutes what you have not accomplished in 30 years? Why is it that we so often put life's important decisions off until the last moment? Jesus said, because of our foolishness. It is the foolish person who cannot see down the long road. It's not that the foolish maidens lacked any desire. They wanted to be at the wedding party. They genuinely wanted to go and participate in the celebration and the festivities and the food, the wine. It's just that they gave it insufficient forethought. All too often we believe that heaven and our faith and church can wait. Yet in the wise person who does not put off the matter of eternity until the end. Third and lastly, the parable suggests to us that if we are not prepared, we miss great opportunities. The issue here is one of readiness when Christ returns. When God holds his grand celebration, will we be ready? Now, I'll be the first one to admit that this theme has been abused over the years. People setting dates for the end of Christ and coming, and then he doesn't come, and people get disillusioned, say, yeah, see, you can't believe the church, can't believe Jesus or God. But there's a genuine element to this theology, and we need to understand that there's an element of judgment also in this parable. When the foolish maidens arrived at the party, the door was shut. When I read these words, I can't help but think of Noah. What happened? Noah preached to the people. He told them what was coming. He built the ark, got the animals. The rains came, closed the doors, and then people started coming, trying to get in at the last minute. When the great flood came, there were many who pounded on the door and begged to be let in, but the scripture says the door was shut. These are metaphors for God's judgment. Now, this doesn't mean someone in later in life can't accept Jesus even right before they die, because they can, but you can't count on that. You know, Charles Colson repented of his role in the infamous Watergate affair. Now, he's involved in full-time Christian work, has authored books, and working as an advocate for prison reform. His conversion is a true, genuine one. Bill Clinton, for some, was a great president. But even those who support him cannot deny that in his moment, he disgraced his office. It has been said by many, both detractors and supporters, that he is still in search of a legacy. The tragedy will always be that when his great opportunity in history came, he was not prepared and he missed it. There's a tragedy in missed opportunities. Jesus is telling us in this simple parable about the tragedy of the unprepared life. Jesus said that there are times to be prepared, for no man or woman knows the hour. My friend, the best way to get ready for tomorrow is to be ready today, not try to get ready tomorrow. A time will come when no further preparation is prepared, and Jesus will be in the sky. A pastor visited someone in his congregation who was about to undergo surgery, and when he visited him, he said, "Pastor, if everything turns out all right, that's okay. And if everything does not turn out right, that's okay also." He was speaking in the language of the five wise maidens. He was prepared to live. He was prepared to die. All the maidens slumbered and slept, but at midnight there was a cry. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come and meet him." These maidens were prepared. Jesus called wise. Can Jesus call you and me wise? May God bless you. Amen. At this point, take a couple of minutes. We're going to bring new members up. David or Dave and Mary Slover, if you'll come forward.
completed. They did it at 3760 Bradley Drive in Allison Park. Dave is he's a telecommunications technician. And he put a date that's important to him. It's his wedding date. That's 6/18/05. And I'm not going to read all these children, but there's a bunch of children between the two of them, about five. And, his hobbies are hunting, fishing, yard work, home repair. And he checked on the list that he would be willing to serve as a deacon and do occasional church repair and maintenance and occasional gardening. And those were all good things to check. He was born Catholic and had been attending Methodist Church. Their pastor there retired, so now, even though they've been coming here now, they're doing full membership. Mary, same address, I like that. You never know. She's a medical assistant. She likes dancing, hiking, and cooking. And at a former church, Methodist Church, she worked with them in hostess and hospitality and a PPR, which was the go-between for the congregation and the pastor. And you said you did that for about 3 years. She said, that was enough of that. They met with some session members. I've already asked them these questions, but I'd like to ask in public, even though they've been Christians for a long time. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior.
Do you trust in Him?
Yes.
Do you intend to be His disciple, to obey His word, and show His love? Will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? I want to be the first to welcome you in as members of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, give you a chance to welcome them in a few minutes after the benediction. They're going to come stand back up, so I know you want to welcome them. Mary's already in choir.
Our closing hymn, 569, Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Thank you.
this sanctuary today. I hope that you felt a closeness to your Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that when you leave here, you'll go back to your homes, you'll pray, you'll open up your Bibles or a book to study, and you will reach out to your loved ones, your neighbors, even people that you don't particularly like, and have that opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ. He is coming to the world, and He is coming back. May you be blessed, and may you go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.